KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Genevieve Woodward's with us for our Heritage Foundation update. And Genevieve, first of all, Genevieve, thanks for taking the time again.
Hello. Glad to be with you.
Well, listen, you know, if you're watching any news, any broadcast news or conservative news or left news or what, you know, if you're connecting with media almost anywhere over the last few weeks, somewhere along the way, you probably saw a reference to Project 2025. And I had a couple of times, and then, it's the Heritage Foundation. I'll have to ask Genevieve about that. I did go look at it a little bit, and I'll let you go into more detail. But as I said to you when we were off the air, you know, I wanted to, let me go through it. Well, it's 1,000 pages. So I wasn't going to go through all of it, but I did touch on some of it. I'm really looking forward to you, really, in the time we have, to just kind of educate our listeners about what it is. And, you know, my hope, too, is that the listeners, after hearing from you, Genevieve, will be better able to articulate to those who might have not quite the right idea about it, or, you know, it seems there's even some fear-mongering going on from what, you know, about it. But actually, what I looked at, I was encouraged, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to share.
Well, thank you, Steve, first of all, for talking about it, because it's something that we want people to see it. That's why from the very get-go, it's been online and hasn't been something we're hiding. So if people do want to go to it, if you go to project2025.org, so project2025.org, you can see what it's all about. You can see all the organizations that are a part of this. This was something that Heritage has done really every 4 years since 1980. 1980 was the first time that we created a book of recommendations for an incoming administration. And, you know, we're nonpartisan, we're conservative, but we'll give the book to anybody, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian. We'll brief any candidate on it. And we've done this, like I said, about every 4 years since 1980, sometimes in more robust fashion than others, depending on what was going on. But in 2023, we decided this time that we really wanted the whole conservative movement behind it, not just Heritage and a few others, but really everybody. And so you mentioned the 993-page book called Mandate for Leadership. You can read it all online, or you can also order the hard copy book. There are 400 different authors who put that together. Some of them work at Heritage, but many of them work in different organizations across both DC, but also different parts of the country. And you can see it under the About section, who the other organizations are. We're up to over 110 different organizations that are now part of this project. I think you said you looked at a few of them.
Yeah, actually, our listeners will be very familiar with let me list off some that I really thought our listeners would be familiar with. The ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice. Of course, that's Jay Sekulow, who airs right after this program at 2 o'clock daily, Monday through Friday on KLYT. But the Alliance Defending Freedom, Heritage Foundation, Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, MRC, the Media Research Center, NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters, and Turning Point USA, which is that Charlie Kirk's organization?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, just to name a few.
Yeah, I mean, and you can tell it kind of runs a gamut of different types of policy organizations and, you know, an issue set. So, yeah, I would encourage people to check that out, because it's always good to see who else is involved to help you to figure out, you know, what the whole project is about. But the goal of this, Steve, was to create, yes, policy recommendations. And the Mandate for Leadership book goes agency by agency across the federal government and says, if a conservative administration were to come in, here are the recommendations we would make for what these different agencies should do. And, you know, of course, part of that is here's the ideas, and you could take part of that. You could take a chapter on transportation and implement parts of it and say, but I don't like what they say about health and human services, right? Like, you can take and pick and choose the different recommendations you might want to do, which is what we would hope a candidate would come in and do. We created this long before we knew Donald Trump would be the nominee. When we kicked this particular project off, our keynote speaker was Governor Ron DeSantis, interestingly enough. But we knew it could be anybody, right? There were a number of candidates running early on. And our goal was, whoever comes in, we hope they will take a serious look at these recommendations. And then, you know, there's a number of pieces to it, but one of the other main keys is hiring people. And this was one reason we started in 2023, because one thing we did know from the last time when President Trump came in 2016 was that there just weren't enough people who agreed with conservative policies and his policies to help implement them. There just aren't a lot of conservatives hanging out in Washington waiting to take a job at department this and department that. That's on the left side. There are a lot of people who live in the DC area who are ready to do that. So we started a database where we recruited people from all over the country, encouraging people, you know, come serve your country for 2 years or 4 years and enter the administration. And we now have almost 18,000 people who have submitted their resumes, and not just submitted them, but filled out applications. They're all being vetted to make sure they, you know, believe in certain policies and would want to implement the right ones. And personnel really is policy, because at the end of the day, as much as the people we elect, our lawmakers in Congress and at the state level, we think they're the ones making all the laws. But as I think we've talked about on the show before, most of the things that decide, you know, how much something's going to cost and the rules and regulations, it's no longer Congress doing that. It's bureaucrats and all these different agencies that you have no idea who they are. You've never met them. You've certainly never voted for them.
And yeah, and right. They're appointed, right. Which actually, often with the Rio Grande Foundation, when Paul Gessing comes on our broadcast once a month, we see the same thing in local politics where our governor is setting up a committee and appointing people to it affects people's daily lives. And these aren't people that are elected.
No, you don't even know who to go complain to, right? It's kind of like, yeah. And I mean, I'll just give folks an example. In this past year alone, there were over 3,000 rules and regulations issued by the Biden administration, not out of the White House, but out of the Department of Homeland Security, out of the Department of Energy, out of the Department of Health and Human Services. I mean, you name it, Department of Commerce. And these are all rules and regulations that, you know, affect small businesses, big businesses, anybody walking outside of their house, right? They deal with the environment, they deal with health, hiring practices, all sorts of things that tell people how to run their school, run their business, run their lives, basically. Some of them are good, but a lot of them aren't. And a lot of them are what makes things cost more. Or a lot of them are things that say you may have to hire certain kind of folks that are, you know, if you're a church, maybe you don't agree with, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that happen in the rules and regulation space that affect our daily lives. Over 3,000 came out this past year. You know how many laws Congress passed last year? 68. Huh. Okay, so you got 68 laws coming out of Congress by people that you actually voted to be lawmakers. And right. You've got 3,000 rules and regulations that you don't know any of these people. And so when we talk about the administrative state and how deep it goes in terms of, you know, deciding how the country's run, that's really where it is. And that's why it matters so much that we have people in these agencies who want, you know, if you're voting for a conservative candidate, you want them to be able to have people in these agencies that will do what they say. And that doesn't mean firing everybody in the federal government. Believe me, there's millions, okay? But we're talking about the key positions in these agencies that actually implement, you know, not payroll, but the policy positions that you have voted someone in office to implement, they need help. One person can't do all of it. One person and their cabinet secretaries can't do all of it. You've got to have people at level 2, 3, and 4 that are part of the team. So that's a big part of what the database is about, and encouraging people to apply. And again, the majority of people who've applied and submitted saying, yes, I'm willing to serve, are from all over the country, Steve. They're not from D.C. And that's great, because we need people outside D.C. representing the rest of America.
You know, let me read a little bit of what I found, you know, and I spent, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes looking through the mandate for leadership. And I'm not going to read through the four pillars, but I would encourage our listeners to go to and remind me, is it project2025.com?
.org.
.org. Mm-hmm. .org. Okay. But do go and read through those four pillars of the mandate for leadership. But what I wanted to share, and I think this will be encouraging, four broad fronts that will decide America's future, according to the, you know, Project 2025 or in the mandate for leadership. One, restore the family as the centerpiece of American life and protect our children. which has been a big thing here in New Mexico. You know, Not My Kid has been part of what Better Together New Mexico has been talking about for quite some time. We encourage our listeners to go check that out if they haven't yet. Number two, though, dismantle the administrative state and returns, which you mentioned, and return self-governance to the American people. Number three, defend our nation's sovereignty, borders, and bounty against global threats. And number four, secure our God-given individual rights to live freely, what our Constitution calls the blessings of liberty. So I do really want to encourage the listener, because they probably will, in the conversations they have walking between now and Election Day, hear from different people, whether on social media or face-to-face, about their thoughts on Project 2025. And if you've gone and at least gone through it or read it in its entirety, you'll have opportunity to challenge others who are saying things maybe contrary to what the truth is. And the way to find out what the truth is about it is to go and take a look at it, project2025.org. Genevieve, anything else on it?
No, I just would say, I would encourage, like you said, the only way to know the truth is to go find it and read it for yourself. And there has been a push on the, by some to try to say, oh, it calls for this, it calls for that, trying to scare people. And some of them, Steve, honestly, have just been outright lies. They have been outright lies. They say that we address things that we don't even address, don't even take a position on. So we've got a myths versus facts on there that's kind of helpful for people too. But
oh, good.
I just say, read it for yourself. And I think that'll be very helpful in determining if it's something you think you would support. And to be clear, this is something that we, with our allies, created. This is not, something the Trump campaign created. And we, we certainly hope they or whoever comes into office will use a lot of it. But this is an outside project. It's not created by a particular campaign.
Yeah, it's created by the Heritage Foundation for whoever ends up in the White House.
We gave it to Robert Kennedy Jr. We gave a copy to him. He's got it. He thanked us for it, So this is something, and it's something that can be used at the state level, too. It's not just federal. Most of it is. But we've even had governors and others calling saying, hey, we'd like to be able to take people out of the database for our offices. People who apply for positions. So it's something I think a lot of different groups can use.
Very interesting and great information, very relevant, especially where we are now in the election process and with all that's going on in our nation. Genevieve Wood with the Heritage Foundation, which, by the way, we didn't go to dailysignal.com today, although I'm sure if you do a search on dailysignal.com, you'll find plenty about Project 2025. Genevieve, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Steve.
And a reminder, project2025.org. Go there to find out more. And stay with us. We'll get to our Friday financial update with Brian Cochran. It's on the way next on ABQ Connect.